Today is this is where we the big triumphal entry. This is the Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday that we celebrate with the it's kind of like all the stuff that's happening for this Passover week. And so this is a great week that is a remembrance for us to celebrate. And Easter coming up on Sunday, or a Good Friday coming up on we'll talk about why it's called a Good Friday on Friday night here. And so we'll have that, and exciting piece here, and we'll cut through on Wednesday night. We'll be talking a little bit also about the rest of this week as well. So it's kind of a week-long piece here of learning about this whole week of this Passover. An interesting piece about this is, though, that when you pick up your Bibles and you look in your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about 40% of each one of those Gospels, a little bit more, a little bit less on each one. About 40% of it is from about the triumphal entry all the way to the after the resurrection. So a lot of the gospel is really about this week, the beginning of this week, all the way to the resurrection and what happened after that. And so it's a good piece. This is a very important week in celebrating as a believer the things that Christ has done. He's done so much during the week. So much during this week. It's a special week. It's a week that we set aside and the remembrance of what Christ gave for us, that we might have life with Christ. So we're going to be in the book of Luke this morning in chapter 19. We're going to be looking at that this morning, and we're going to be looking at this triumphal entry. And so just imagine here this morning that, you know, just imagine, you know, there's this big city. The city's running. Jerusalem's running. It's all over the place. It could be anywhere 20,000, 50,000 people on a normal week. But this is Passover week. This week here consists of three festivals. Everybody's coming in. All the Jewish people, they're coming in. They're going to do all this thing. They're sacrificing. There's the sacrifices. All those things they're doing. And the ramp of the population probably went from about 20,000, 50,000 up to about 250,000. Some people even say 500,000. There are even some that said maybe 1 million people were at that time. It, regardless, this place was busy and it was packed. This place was packed. Packed more than the mall on Christmas Eve. There you go. This place was packed. It had everyone and anyone and everyone that was anyone was there. We're going to pick it up in verse 28 here. It says, when he had said these things, he went on ahead and going up to Jerusalem, Jesus is getting ready. He approached Bethage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, and he sent two of his disciples. And he said, go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent left them and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owner said to them, why are you untying the donkey? The Lord needs it, they said. Father, Lord, open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we may learn from your word today, that we may grow spiritually. But as we walk out today, Lord, that we have known that we've been in the presence of you, in your word, in your song, and all of that, Lord, we give you praise and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Here we find out there that Jesus is requiring a donkey. It doesn't make sense, but it does when you think about it. Is that Jesus is going to ride in on a donkey. So he is coming. Jesus is coming in peace. He's coming in peace. And that makes a big difference, because if Jesus is a king, if he's coming into battle, he's going to ride a horse. Kings ride horses into battle. And we see that in Revelation, don't we? Yeah, yeah. But he's not coming in on a horse. He's not coming into a battle. He's coming in peace. And in those days, when a king would come and ride, when a king was riding a donkey, the land was in peace. Okay? So he's riding in on peace. It doesn't make sense if you just read it, but when you dig into it and you read it, it makes perfectly sense. And we go, how is that even true? What does this really even mean? Why is it even written in there? Why do we have to know so much about this donkey? Because listen, God's word really proves itself, because God's word is written into 66 books over a big time span. And there's these things called prophecies, right? These prophetic pieces that would say something is going to happen in the future. We don't know when, but something's going to happen in the future. And during the Christmas season, we talk about this coming Christ. We come in about the star. We talk about all the things of the coming Messiah. Here, there's a piece here, and it's in Zechariah 9, verse 9. And it says this. So 500 to 550 years before this event, before Jesus, this day here we're talking about 500 to 550 years before, a prophet named Zechariah wrote this. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Isn't that awesome? That God put something in the past at that moment to talk about and reflect something that's going to happen in the future. And here it is. This is why Jesus is riding on the donkey. It was prophesied that he was going to come in. The king was going to come in on a donkey. Not in a time of war, not for war, as the crowd would love to have a king that's going to come in and take over. But a king of peace. Jesus is giving himself. Here it is. This is what's happening. We move on from there. This also was a time when they would choose the Passover lamb. You know, the lamb that they would sacrifice for the sins of the people, and they did a bunch of other ones. But Jesus is also coming in as that great sacrifice, coming in to be that sacrifice. The people don't understand it. They don't know all about it. They don't grasp it. But here it is. God does. And it was God's plan. Okay? So we see that the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Going to fulfill a piece of prophecy. Fill a prophecy piece from Zechariah some 500 some years before this event. And it's happening. And Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's on the donkey. He's coming now. He's got the donkey. Here it is. Then 35, he says, then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their clothes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. So, I don't know, if you get on a horse, you can kind of jump on it, but donkeys are kind of weird, they're just like all muscle and all that, but they're helping him get on it. They put some clothes on there so he has something soft to sit on. And it says, as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. So people were throwing their clothes on the road, they were throwing their clothes. And then, as so that he, like royalty, he's riding on the donkey. He's riding on it, stepping on these clothes. And then it says, now he came near the path down to the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise. Now, also some other scriptures would say that they were tucking the trees and the palm trees, and they were putting it up because not everybody was throwing their clothes out there. So they had this big, long train that was going through as he was heading toward Jerusalem. And you got to remember, Jerusalem is this big city, and people are all in it, but there's people outside because there's not enough room for everybody to be in the city. So there's people all out. This thing is maxed out. And so people are all over the place. And so he says this. Now he came near the path down to the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest of heaven. So we see that there is a crowd here now that has got together. There's a crowd here. There's the disciples that are following Jesus. There's the disciples outside the 12. There's the other disciples that were following Jesus that saw all the things that he was doing. There was these religious leaders that were there. There was all the people that were in the sellers, the marketers, all of them. All those people were there, the merchants, the citizens of the area, all the people that were coming from outside and other communities, other lands that were coming there to do and participate in this week. This place was packed. And here Jesus is coming on a donkey. And his entrance got their attention. As you read the gospel, some of the gospels would say someone would shout out, who is that guy? Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And some would say different things, but they would say, who is that? And they would say, oh, here it is. Blessed is the King. We see blessed is the King. And in the Gospel of John, it would say, here's the King of Israel. And you say that too loud, that's going to draw a lot of attention, because now that's what the people wanted. They wanted a king like Caesar. They wanted a king that was going to come in and take over so they could have the old days of their glory of like King David. But that isn't what Jesus' plans was, but that's what the people really wanted. And so they were shouting all kinds of things here. And they were shouting things out. But there was also some others that were in the crowd that another gospel tells us that there were some people that were there that saw Lazarus rise up from the dead. And they were testifying. They weren't just shouting. The scripture says they were testifying. They were testifying to what Jesus had done and how he raised the dead. And this began to upset a certain crowd. So you got this big uproar. You got all these people. You got thousands of people all over the place. Jesus is riding through. And everybody is shouting all kinds of things. And if they don't know who he is, they're saying, who is he? And they're saying, hey, this is the King of Israel. This is the King is coming. Here it is. And they're shouting. And people were getting excited because there's like, oh my gosh, Israel's got a king. Huh. Israel hasn't had a king for a long time. There's mixed emotions. There's all kinds of things happening, but here it is. He's not coming in the way that they expect him to, and for the purposes. But verse 39 opens it up and says, now it starts to get kind of ugly. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." What it's saying is that these Pharisees, that they were struggling with Jesus ever since he started doing things. They wanted him to shut the crowd up. Shut the crowd up. These are your disciples. And here it is. They admit it. They said, rebuke your disciples. Basically, shut your disciples down. There were so many of them. There's not just the 12. Jesus had a lot of people following him. People were following him ever since he fed 5,000, ever since he fed 4,000. Some of the people were still following him. Some of them had drifted away. But here it is. He's got a crowd, and the crowd's getting more and bigger and bigger. And here it is. "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Zip it up. Shut. And so some of these other gospels would say that they were in fear of losing their crowd. They knew that Jesus was taking their crowd, if you want to say it that way. Jesus said, he answered, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." So basically what Jesus was saying, if they were to stay silent, nature was going to do it anyway. Because God is worthy. Jesus isn't just walking into a town like he normally walks into a town. He's riding on a donkey. He's coming for a purpose. He's coming to do what he has been called to do. This was his week. This was the week. Everything that he did was built up on this week. Coming to give his life so that we might have life. To give life. To give life. Control your disciples. But Jesus says, no. I'm going to have this moment is going to happen. This moment is going to happen. And we would say the triumphal entry is kind of like, okay, he did his piece. He's heading toward Jerusalem. He can see it from a distance. He's riding. We don't even know how long this whole thing, how far they were lined up, but I would say it was pretty good. Because you know people just follow people. We have people today, you know, there's always some kind of protest out there somewhere, and people just jump on things. They don't even know why they're jumping on things. Here there was a crowd just like that. Some of them didn't know why they knew why they were there, but they didn't know why they were doing, you know, being part of this, because some of these people that are in this crowd right now, it's going to be the same ones that's going to be at the end of the week. They're going to be yelling out, "Crucify." There's going to be some of them as well. But what sometimes we miss is the next part. And this is where I want to share with you. In verse 41, as he approached and saw the city, he wept for it. You see, Jesus is coming to a city Jesus is coming because God sent him and he's being obedient, and Jesus is coming to a city that God loves. He's coming to a city that Jesus loves. God loves the city, Jesus loves the city. And Jesus is coming to a city that love that God loves, but it's a city that doesn't love God back. It's a city that doesn't love God back. Well, well, they're there for the Passover. They're there. There's some people, but the majority of them, no, they've lost their way. They're doing what they're just told to do. They're doing stuff out of tradition. It's gone from the heart. It's gone from the spirit. They're just doing things because that's what they've always done. It's kind of like us doing Christmas and Easter and forgetting what the purpose really is all about. We'll put a star, we'll put a star at the top of the tree and remember that, oh, there was a great star that the Magi followed. Oh, Bethlehem, great. But we forget what the purpose was. We'll have Easter and there'll be some basket things and people do some different things or whatever, but we'll forget. Some people, Christians, forget. I believe the people here forgotten really what their purpose, who God was in their lives. And they come to a place, as Jesus comes to this place where he saw it, and then he wept over the city. He wept over it because it's a city that he loved, the people that he loved, but they wouldn't love him back. They didn't love him back. And this is what he says, saying, he says this out loud. He says it out loud. If you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. You know, that was a prophetic piece that Jesus is talking about. In 70 AD, Titus, Roman emperor, surrounded Jerusalem. They surrounded Jerusalem and they annihilated and destroyed Jerusalem. And history books will tell you that Titus came to attack and just got tired of the uprising little factions here that were attacking the Romans constantly all the time against, and it was going against the emperor system. So Titus surrounded it and destroyed Jerusalem. But I always say, what does the Bible tell us? Well, the Bible gives us the answer, and the answer is this: because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. God came in, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and they did not recognize it. Jesus was coming just on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they did not recognize it. They did not recognize who was in front of them. If they truly recognized who was in front of them, they probably would not have been just throwing out clothes and tree limbs for him to walk on. They would have been bowing down. They would have been kneeling before the king. And so we see that there is a peace here that is a long-lasting peace of all these things. What we're talking about, this triumphal entry and all that it represents and everything. I believe it comes down to this: because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. And I want you to look at me right now, because every one of you, I know this, that if someone shared the Holy Spirit, the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, that is also a representation that God has been in your world for just a moment. God has made time to spend and get into your world. As busy as you say that you are, God has stepped into your own personal sphere and into your own personal space, and you need to recognize that God is in your presence. Yet many people refuse to receive Him. They refuse to accept Him for who He is. They refuse the gift of salvation. They refuse God. And to refuse God is to refuse Jesus Christ. To refuse Jesus Christ is to refuse God. God is visiting. God is visiting people. on a regular, consistent basis. And if he's been visiting you, my question for you is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive him as God? Are you going to allow him to be a part of your life, or are you going to continue to do your own thing? They refused to see God's glory through Jesus. They believed it was just a king, a fleshly king that was coming. They could not see it. And one of the big reasons they could not see it was because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of them should have known their scriptures and should have saw the coming of Jesus Christ. They had the word that the others may not have had. Most of them did not have. They were relying upon the teachings of the scribes and the leading of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were blinded. They were spiritually blind. Today, America feels like sometimes you feel like, oh, is it turning around? But is it not turning around? Let me tell you, there's always going to be those who are spiritually blind. We are trying to make America into heaven. It's not going to work. This is not get your best life, all this. This is not all about this and that, and we're going to bring, you know, getting into sharing the gospel is hard. Getting into being what God has called you to do can be tough because there's a cost with all of it. And Jesus is coming in the triumphal entry, and this whole thing is going to cost him his human life. But his human life is what is going to give us everlasting life. But God is visiting. He's visiting you. If you're a believer, he's already there. But even when we have Christ already, we have the audacity at times, and we have gotten caught up in life and we forgot that he's there. We have pushed him aside. We're treating him as a savior, but we're not letting him live in our life as a savior. We believe that he is our savior, but we're not letting him guide our life. He says, you did not recognize the time when God visited you. And there was a harsh, it seems harsh, there was a tough, there was a response. There's a cost. Let me remind you, Jesus is not just somebody else. He's not somebody else. He's a creator. God is the Father of all. He is the creator of all things that are good. He is the creator of the earth, the space we live, the air that we breathe. God is the creator of the universe. And as big and as massive the universe is, there's nothing as big as God. There's no one that is powerful as God. God can demand your life in a second, in a moment. God can extend your life forever long he wants. God can open doors in your life. God can close doors in your life. God can open the womb and have couples to have children that were closed and there was no way for them to have children. God can make a way. When the doctors say there is no way, I'm telling you, it's a one in a million chance. I want to tell you, God works in the million chance, the one. And your marriage looked like it was headed for doom. You called out to God, and now you're still working through it. You're doing it. God's there. Sometimes things happen. But I'm telling you, God is there. There's no other like God. There's no other like God. There never will be, and there isn't today. There isn't going to be tomorrow. Or in the future, there is only one God, and he loves you. He loves you right where you are, but he gave his son that you might have life, but have it more abundantly and better than you can ever have on your own. And he offers you salvation through his son. These people didn't see the glory of God through Jesus. They seen the glory of a king, a fleshly king that's going to give them a nation like they thought back as it would be back in the times of King David and the other kings. But no, Jesus was coming here for a purpose of peace. I come in peace to lay my life down for you. and you didn't even acknowledge my presence, not in the way that you thought. You were wrong. You did not recognize that God was here. God is here today in this building. The Spirit is here today. Why? How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us, where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. But also that those who believe and have a relationship with Jesus Christ as God's Holy Spirit. God is all around in this building today. The Holy Spirit, that's God's Spirit, is all around in this building today. And those who are believers, inside those who are believers, He's in the midst of doing works. He's doing things in the midst of what He is doing here. As long as we continue to recognize that this is all for Him and we're serving Him. But fortunately, there are some of you today that are around people that have God in their life, the Holy Spirit in their life. You are around the things of God, but you do not have God yourself. And you have not recognized that you need God in your own personal life. I believe there's a triumphal entry in an imaginary way that when we leave this earth, those who know Christ, the Bible says the angels will take us, they'll take us into the presence of the Lord. And it's almost like we have a triumphal entry that we get to go into the Lord, to be with the Lord. And He will recognize you as who you are. You see, God knows who we are, but we need to know who He is. Membership does not work here. Church membership does not work in heaven. Amen. It's just something that we use here to use for different purposes and reasons. Church membership is important, but it does not get you into heaven. A baptism without the belief and faith in Jesus Christ was you just got yourself wet. Raised up by a pastor and his pastor's wife, just in what people would call a religious family, does not save you either. Uncle was a grandpa, maybe dad, maybe somebody was a priest or whatever it means. It doesn't matter. You have your own responsibility to receive Christ as your own, to admit your own sins, to admit your own shortcomings in this world, to lay them down before the Lord, to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent His Son, and is the glory of God, is Jesus Christ, that is the sacrificial lamb that we all must have. Forgiveness of our sins, for the transgressions that we've committed, the iniquities that we committed before a holy God. We owe Him. We all owe Him ourself. To confess, we owe Him a confession that we're not right with God, we are not right with Him, that we need to fix that, we need to recognize who God is. And when we don't recognize who God is, He will not recognize you in the time of death. You must have Christ. This triumphal entry was an entry coming in to a week of an amazing things. But Jesus made His approach. And as He approached, He wept. Because they didn't see the truth. And they didn't see and recognize the time when God visited. God is patient. Sometimes He continues to knock on the doors of people, of their life. But there is no promise that He'll knock again. The Bible says you just can't come to God when you want. You come when He moves in your life. When He presses upon your own heart and your spirit to come to Him. And when He opens it up, that opportunity, then you recognize whether it's Him or you turn the door and you shut it closed. Jesus comes in peace. This is a time of peace. This is a time of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. From the time that Jesus resurrected to today, the gospel is still spreading. And people are still receiving Christ. Praise the Lord for that. God still answers prayers. Praise the Lord for that, because many of us have children that have been away from the Lord and don't know the Lord. And we have family members and friends that don't know the Lord. Praise the Lord that God is still answering those prayers and people are recognizing who God is. And begin, I may not understand it all, but they're recognizing that they need God, that they understand that they need Jesus. To get to God, you have to go through Jesus. But there are some that are not recognizing. And maybe that is you today, that you've been around it so much that it's, you've been around it, you can smell it, you know what it looks like, you can hear it, but you've never received it. You've never taken it, you never ate from it. The eternal fruit of the gospel. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, but today. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus didn't come for 900 people. He didn't come for just the people of Jerusalem. He came for people, all people of this generation and the generation we live in today until he comes on a horse. Not a donkey, but a horse. Folks, we are living in a time of grace and peace with the Lord. And the Lord's been putting up with a lot. Even amongst the believers, he puts up with a lot. Could you imagine what it's going to be for people when he comes with a horse? Recognize the time. Today is the day. Today is the day to recognize that you need God in your life, that you need Christ in your life. Because nobody's ways work in front of God, outside of God. Nobody's ways work. It's only through Christ, and it will continue to be only through Christ, that a man or a woman can receive eternal salvation. That's it. And that is it. You either have Christ or you don't. And if you're questioning it, there's got to be a reason why you're questioning it. I can't help but imagine when Jesus was walking or riding on that donkey, all the things that he was thinking of. He knew what he was getting ready to get into. He knew what the end of the week was going to be. But I thank God that he did it all. They didn't stop and said, no, they're not worth it. I can't help but to think that Jesus was writing knowing that I'm doing my Father's business. This is what it means when God says when the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Because it's not going to be until about to the end of the week when he's going to say, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? To pay for our sins, I'm telling you folks, it was a high cost. And it come from the house of the Creator. Nothing outside of the house of God would work. And it took God's only Son to redeem that which was lost. There is no excuse. When God visits, you need to recognize it. Recognize the movements and the voice of God. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this great triumphal entry. We thank you for this story. That was a factual piece. A sharing with us, Lord. The tears you shed for a city that you loved but didn't love you back. And Lord, they did not recognize. They did not recognize you. Lord, today there may be some here that do not recognize you, but you're moving on them right now. I pray, Father, you give them boldness today. I pray, Father, that they would receive what they need to receive today. And I pray, Father, for those that are believers today. If they've dropped the ball, they've kind of been doing things lackadaisical and forgotten their walk with you, I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would draw them back to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.